to everyone today. I know this is a special day for me. My mother is here today. And a lot of you have your mothers or your children worshiping with you today. And so we want to, in a little bit, we're going to honor some mothers. But I just wanted to greet you and say how important I think mothers are. And they deserve much more than a day. Much more than just a day. Mothers work tirelessly and frequently without anything in return. And mothers can, and we honor all mothers today. And we are just grateful to be in God's house this morning. And if I say, this is the day that the Lord has made, you will say, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wonderful to see you today. Invite us now to be with the peace of Christ.
Well, good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of God. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist and your servant for the day. If you would please turn to the back of your bulletins and just take a glance at what's going on this week. We have some meetings, scheduled meetings that will be going on. So if you're a part of one of these committees, please make a big effort to get to those meetings this week. Other announcements, I guess we really don't have anything other than the fundraiser, huh? Buttons and bows, that is correct. Everybody know what buttons and bows is? Fundraiser for? Very good, very good. Andy's going to camp. Yes, our buttons and bows, I'm sure you read about it in the newsletter. By the way, newsletters are out if you haven't picked one up. And anyway, so... we are accepting donations. We're going to be doing that this month. You can see myself. You can go to the office. We will have little tickets, and the tickets are just so we'll know how many people will be in attendance because there will be refreshments served. Anyway, that is June 19th, so mark that on your calendars for the Buttons and Bows Fashion Show. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Oh, okay, Larry. I recognize that tune. Yes.
Friday, June 5th, the Jackson Wilson's Take on the Montgomery Biscuits. It has been called United Methodist Family Night.
Amen.
It's not men's night, it's family night. Microphone.
All right, June 5th, 7 p.m. Jackson Wilson's Take on the Montgomery Biscuits. It's United Methodist Family. The bishop is coming in town. He will be throwing out the first pitch. One of the pastors from our district will be lucky enough to catch it. Maybe it'll be ours. Because all the pastors will be behind home plate. So I guess it's wherever the ball lands, they get to catch it. Tickets $9 a piece if you do not want food. $20 a piece, that includes a reception that's going to be held from 6 o'clock until 6:30, quarter to 7, along the first baseline up in the Winn-Dixie Fun Zone. The sign-up sheet will be, I'll have it after church, but it'll also be in the church office. I have to turn in the sheet with the money by the 1st of June to the district office. The tickets will be picked up down there at the ballpark at the United Methodist will call window. So please, mark your calendars. The goal is to fill the stadium with Methodists.
Amen. Well, thank you, Larry. And I know the guys in the closet are desperately, there it is, seeking to put that ball. Thank you very much for making that happen. There's all the information. And we really would like a nice big group of Calvary to be in attendance for that ball game. Who doesn't like a ball game? Okay, any other announcements from the community? Okay, would you please get out your worship elements and join with me in our opening words this morning? If Christ is for us, if love is with us, if grace is with us, if peace is with us, come, let us worship our God.
Come, may we do justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with God. May we not be afraid to follow Christ's ways.
Amen. Amen.
If you turn your hymnals to page 246, believe it or not, this song is in the liturgy for this Sunday. So it all has to do with the joy of Christ, and Christ has just risen to heaven to rule us all. Got the wrong book for some reason. I think Lloyd Stone was responsible for getting me the right book. We believe in God, Creator of all people, and Jesus Christ, upon us, who died and rose again, and an Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, and each act of self-giving on behalf of others in the abundance of God's gifts, entrusted to us that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Bradley, Zachary, and John, it's nice to have you worshiping with us today. We're going to talk about the word invitation. What does invitation mean? Bradley? It's kind of like a party invitation. It's an event, which means you're welcome to come. I like that definition. That's a great definition. Well, in our scripture passage, we're going to hear in a few minutes, the Apostle Peter had baptized a family. He had went to visit their house and had baptized a family. And because the family was so grateful to them for Peter sharing God's grace and God's love through the sacrament of baptism, the family invited Peter to stay with them for a few days. That's what our scripture says, that Peter was invited to stay with them for a few days. And I like that word, invite. Now, who else and what else do we invite people to? What else can we invite people to besides birthday parties? Yes. You can invite them to the place you're about to go. That's a very good way to do it. Yes, right. Your house, you can invite people to your house. Yeah. Where else can you invite people to? To church. You can invite people to church. That's absolutely right. And that's what we want to do, isn't it, is invite people to church. Now, there's a very special invitation that we make today. What is today? What's the special thing about today? It's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. What do we invite our mothers to do on Mother's Day? Spend the day with us? Okay, that's a good way to spend Mother's Day. How else? Give them presents. That's a nice invitation to say thank you, Mom, for all that you have done. Anything else that we can do for mothers? And I said, I heard back here, I have to say, I don't know which choir member it came from, but somebody says, what can you invite mothers to? Nothing. Nothing. Let them rest on Mother's Day. Let them have a rest. We want our mothers to feel good and have a rest on Mother's Day. So we remember our mothers today, and I want you to remember that word invite, how special that word is. When we invite people to come to church, we are inviting them to know God's love through us, and that's a big responsibility. We share God's love whenever we invite people to be a part of our lives. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, that you have blessed us, and we feel, O God, the power of your love in this church. Pray your blessing upon these children, that they may continue to grow in your grace and strength and in the invitation to know you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay. You're welcome. Our service where we present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. For your goodness today and every day, we praise your name and give you thanks, O Lord. We pray your blessing upon us and these gifts, that they may go toward furthering your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Mothers, but I want to say, don't you feel like you're sitting in the light today? We have new lights in our sanctuary, and it's like daylight in here. It's terrific. I want to thank Jamie Stowers and his crew for it.
We had to turn the ladder so he could hold the
light. Oh, okay. You had to spin the ladder around so he held the light bulb? Okay. No wonder it took a crew.
So how many Methodists does it take?
Two to spin and one to hold the light. Okay. Anyway, thanks to Jamie and his crew for helping us get these new lights installed. And we appreciate that very, very much. I want to call Robin to come up here. And I guess we need to use this microphone so that you can be heard. Oh, you have one. You've got one. Never mind. Okay. Connie didn't have the last service.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All righty. Well, this morning we would like to honor some all our mothers this morning, but we are going to ask by raising your hand, we want to see the oldest mother that is here today. So, if you are 70, raise your hand. In your 70s.
70 or older. We got to narrow it down.
Oh, yes, we have to narrow this down. 80 and over, raise your hand. Oh, what do we have? 1, 2, 3. Oh, my. Oh, how could I forget you guys? I'm so sorry. Okay, I've lost count.
85
and older. 1, 2.
Oh,
90.
Right
there, we have a beautiful, beautiful young mother up in her 90s.
Walterine Douglas.
God
bless.
Walterine. How beautiful you are today. Okay, well, we did the oldest. We need to do the youngest. Okay.
Don't look at them.
How about we start at... 25. If you are 25 or younger, would you please raise your hand?
Nobody's 25 or younger.
Yeah.
Oh, we have one.
She may be it.
I think you're it, young lady. Stand up and please stand.
There she is.
How pretty. And this is Rachel, right? Congratulations, Rachel. All right. Well, let's see. All these moms, let's see who's got the most children, okay? And they don't have to be present with you. They just need to be your children. So let's start. How many have 10 kids? Okay.
We can rule that out.
How about 7? Anybody have 7 children? 6? Wow. 5? Ooh. Oh, dear.
And one back here. We have
oh,
a three-way tie.
We have a three-way tie. I do not know what to do with a three-way tie.
What do we do with it? Why don't we, would you mind, would you three mind standing so we can acknowledge you, and then maybe we leave the flower up here so we don't give it to one and not the other? Does that sound okay? Those with the 5 children, please stand so we can recognize you.
Well, here's the rose in honor of you mothers, and God bless each and every one of you.
Yay. They deserve it, don't they? All 3 of them deserve it. And we all do. Would you turn in your insert, and we will join together in the litany for Mother's Day? Mothers come in many different forms, and today we celebrate them all. Everyone here is either a son or a daughter. Thank God for my mother. For those women who have joined God in heaven and whom we miss dearly here on earth.
Thank God for mothers of the past.
For every woman who is working day and night to raise her children now.
Thank God for the mothers of today.
For all the women who are expecting but aren't quite mothers yet.
Thank God for the
For the women who took in others' children through adoption and foster care.
Thank God for the mothers who are so
For those women who have lost a child to death and must carry on.
Thank God for the mothers who are so strong.
For all the women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own but chose instead to mother everyone else.
Thank God for the mothers.
We thank you, Lord, for the women who have influenced our lives in so many ways. We pray that we will honor them in everything we do. Amen.
We'll sing Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Acts chapter 10, 24 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God.
While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. The two words above, which stick out as if they have neon lights around them, are astounded and eager. The Maritima are coming to faith in God in Christ, and the Christians of Jewish descent are astounded the Holy Spirit of God is being given even to the Gentiles. A Jew first. Becoming a Jew involved. In the New Testament church between Jewish and Gentile Christianity. The question was, can one follow Jesus without also being Jewish? And it set over the nascent church like a wet blanket. What were they going to do? What was God showing them to do? But of course, this is also the same struggle of the church today. Most of us imagine a church or doing church differently than what we have already. And I love this church. And I love this church's music ministry very much. But I'm also aware, as our roles and our pews slowly empty out, glimpse into a mirror. Church couldn't see the reign of God past their own view of the possibilities. Frequently, neither can we. For example, throughout history, people have misinterpreted their calling from God. They believe that they have been chosen for privilege rather than purpose. They forget that they have been called to carry the word to the rest of the world, and they begin to think that they and those like them deserve to be God's special ones, and those other people do not. And we've heard versions of this from time immemorial, and I'm sure some of them are familiar to you, and they exist today in some forms. And it goes like this. Women can't preach. Pagans don't have souls. Slaves are not really people. Native Americans are savages. These are all things that Christian people have said and thought at one time or another. And even if we make them Christians, they first become like us. They must cut away out, which is the uniqueness God created when God created them. And guess what? God astonishes us and skips over all the questions and objections and bestows the Holy Spirit on whomever God will, regardless of our rules and our prejudices. What gives me the slightest glimmer of hope is that the church in Acts was astounded and not disgusted or dismayed. Because sometimes when I hear the prophets of today spin versions of what the visions of what the church can become, the reaction I see is disgust or dismay. And I think we need to summon the ability to see the world, the church, and our lives from God's perspective, not ours. We need to pray for that and then work to make it happen. But if we are unable to do that, and I admit that it's a very large task, then at least we need to recapture the ability to be astounded when God begins to do something new in our midst and breathes life into these dry bones that are always rattling. Our calling today is to move beyond saying we're open to all and beyond believing we're open to all to going out into the community and genuinely inviting anyone and everyone to be a part. There are new things to be done, new people to be reached with His love, and new ways to crash the reign of God into the midst of creation, which is always how God's reign breaks in to the world. But I have to warn you, no matter how much you try to prepare yourself, you will someday find yourself astonished when the Holy Spirit falls upon that very person you had written off. Just like some people were astonished when it fell on you and me. God's Spirit is untamable. God's Spirit touches us and touches others in ways that we cannot even imagine or think until we see it for ourselves. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me. Jimi Hendrix once said, "It's not about the love of power, but the power of love."
Everybody is here today because you have been touched by God's Spirit at some time in your life. I don't think you can be here without having a portion of God's Spirit calling you here. And I am so grateful to God for all of you, and ask that you go into this world knowing God's grace, mercy, and peace in your life, and in your invitation to the world. They need to know that we know about the love of God in our lives. May God's grace, mercy, and peace rest and abide with each of you now and always. Live in His peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.